Welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, where we talk about topics related to fundraising, leadership, coaching, and management for professionals in the nonprofit world. I'm Margaret Katz-Kahn, and I'm here today with my teammate, Janice.
Hi, Margaret. It's Janice. And Margaret, we have a guest today, so I'd love to introduce our guest, who is Isabel Perez Doherty, who's the Director of Philanthropy and Strategic Impact at the YWCA Canada. So welcome, Isabel.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So we were just reminiscing before we hit record that we met through our mutual friend here in Toronto, Paul Nazareth, at one of his amazing networking events, which was an outdoor walk that we went on a couple years ago. And then since then, we have had a very good, nice professional relationship, and we actually have been working together this year, and I've been lucky enough to be your coach. So that's a little bit of our journey.
Yeah, I think Paul, as with many other professionals in our sector, he has been a very much an excellent connector, but also an angel in terms of professional development for many of us. So I'm glad you mentioned it, because I'm so grateful for his mentorship and also for opening all these spaces. I miss those walks. I miss the networking walks.
Yes. Yes, I often laugh that if I can't remember where I met somebody, I just assume I met them through Paul.
Yeah, through Paul.
So, Isabel, we invited you to write a blog post last week, which you did, on how emotions point to our values, which really is in some ways a personal story, and then it's also got a lot of other pieces that people can use for themselves. But why don't you tell us a little bit about the process that you had, a bit of an interesting process to discovering your values. We are keen to hear about it.
Well, I think I've always had some mentally written in my head all those values that I strive to be, become, and practice on a daily basis. So I'm always been very much value driven throughout my life, throughout my profession, and although in many other occasions I've had the opportunity to kind of start kind of dotting some of those, articulate some of those thoughts in writing. When we are starting our coaching process earlier on the year, that was my first task with you, Janice. And I sat down, and this was pre-COVID and pre all these stress, and I say, okay, yeah, this is easy. I've done it before. I know I have them in my head. I know I have them in my heart. This will be easy. But it wasn't. I was very surprised. So I think for me, I really wanted to write about that process and how, even on normal times, because that challenge presented to me before COVID, how difficult it can be at certain points of our lives to articulate what is that really what that moves us and our why, especially in our sector, in philanthropy and in the non-for-profit sector. We are moved by so many strong causes and goals and emotions that sometimes they become a lot and too much. So narrow them down was really of a challenge for me. So we started at the beginning of our journey of coaching, and it was pretty much almost at the end of it that I finally got them and was able to write them down. So this is like a few months down the line. And for me, that was the big discovery, the process of getting to that, because internally I was really in a huge need of revisiting myself, revisiting those values. And in reading through the blog, you will see that it was a complex process. I think there is a lot of elements that reflect the fact that I am a woman, and that I had so many learned pieces that stopped me from committing to one of those values that were true to me, because I had so many other people telling me that that was what I was, and there was so much evidence about that those were my values and I was living them, and I didn't want to say, oh yeah, that's me, and own that. So Yeah, I think it was, I really wanted to talk about that process and how important it is to make time for that.
Yeah, it's interesting because one thing, you know, you and I had talked about, we did an assessment as well, like a leadership assessment, and you're a very strategic thinker, like that's one of your superpowers. So it didn't surprise me when you looked for evidence for your value, but it is a sort of unique way of revisiting. You sort of revisited your career and looked at where you were having impact, and you were like, oh yeah, the things that people are saying about me, I can actually see that I am living those. So I thought that was a really fun way that you kind of went about tamping down that imposter syndrome that popped up a little bit.
Yes. Oh, and it comes all the time. And I think that's the right one, you know, temp that down, tone it down. Always find evidence towards, you know, to find out what you really are. And I think the first step I took after, and also you recommended that, you know, go and speak to your friends, to your colleagues, and ask them, you know, what are the few values. And it was really funny because beyond being strategic, I'm also very data driven. So I did a list, and then my friend said these, and these, and the other friend did say that, and my other colleague said that, and I did a list. And the ones that repeated the most, I took, and those were supposed to be my true values. And then from that, I went to look for evidence. So it was really funny. I just reviewed that process, and I thought, oh my God, am I like this every day? But yeah, very, very interesting.
Yeah. What did you learn about your superpowers through this process?
So I think first of all is that I wasn't giving enough credit to myself, and that was the first piece. You know, this, you need to be more gentle with yourself as a leader and give yourself credit all the way. And I learn about that all the time with my colleagues and with other professionals. So I think that's one piece. The other piece was my superpowers, although I knew the piece about being very strategic and visionary and being able to elaborate a plan to get there and make it happen. I always was thinking, is this really true? Is this really, you know, those doubts. So the having the affirmation, not only through the words and conversations with the people that I had, but also looking back to all the pieces of work that I've done in the past were, okay. So it's a lot of reaffirmation. So having all that space to build up your strength as a leader, and also to revisit what happened, what went well, what didn't work well. Again, make the space to that learning and reaffirmations of, you know, this work in the past, it will work again. It will not be the same situation, but you've done it in the past. The other piece that I found that I hold very strongly and it was very evident for all my networks was about the piece about integrity and how I live that at work and with relationships. So I think it was really good because that was something that I knew I had from a long time and to receive feedback saying that, you know, Isabel, you're living your values and don't worry. You know, there are many times when we make decisions at work where you feel like your integrity is being compromised for whatever, you know, there's so many complexities in the spaces of work. And you need to make decisions that sometimes are very confusing and can get you worried about that piece, that alignment with your values. So that was something that I really appreciated of that discovery process. And yeah, and I think the other super value was, Janice, the trustworthiness piece. Now, this was the first stage of that discovery process. And I didn't feel that cycle was fully completed because I knew that were other elements and other values that were not being said. And I kind of knew them, but I really didn't want to admit to them because for many reasons. until I had a very good conversation with one friend, and that was very recent. And my friend said, you know, I know that you are also very ambitious. And I'm like, oh, I know I am ambitious, and I've known this for a long time, but why didn't I put that as part of my values? And then it was just at the same time when I discovered Susan Davids through a podcast where she talks about emotional agility and how our emotions point to our values. And that was a very much, okay, so my friend is saying this, I know this, and all of these values are surfacing through a lot of my emotions, a lot of my stress, a lot of my frustrations, so very negative emotions that have been happening through, especially during this time that we are distanced from everybody, we're having challenges of homeschooling and not being able to see the people we care and love in person, etc. So that was the piece that was missing from this value analysis. And I was really listening to the podcast again, and I don't know why, but I got this word that was shadow values. Re-listening to the podcast, they never use that word, but I thought, oh, it's a shadow value. We want to have we have them, and we don't want to admit to them because they are perceived as negative. And one of the values, one of the elements of Susan David, I know very little, I haven't read too much about her work, but from what I started to read is we have been built societally and with all the different ways of being educated and absorbed information in our society, that some values are positive and some values are negative, but they are not, but values are values. They are not good or bad. People give connotations of being positive or negative depending on the context. So that was really a big discovery. And why was I denying these other elements? So ambitions, competitive, all these other values that I hold strongly. Why wasn't I making them evident in my analysis? And absolutely, I can see when there is a sense of discomfort, when I'm feeling a little bit, oh, this situation I don't like, some of those shadow values are coming up.
Yeah.
And the fact that I named them, it's making a huge difference.
Yeah. It's so interesting because, you know, one of the ways I like with clients to do values work, which comes from our coaching school, CTI, is to think about like the things in our life that really are very upsetting to us, like very triggering, because that's the opposite of that is a value that is being stepped on.
Yes.
And it's also one of the reasons, you know, in our coach training, like we don't use lists to have people pick values, because I always sort of joke, it's like, yeah, if you see honesty or something, you think, well, I would be a bad person if I didn't choose that.
Yeah.
You know, that's not necessarily a label or a word or even one of your top values, right? So yeah, I think values work. Like I know for myself, you know, years and years after I did my first set of values, another value came to me that was so obvious that I couldn't believe I'd never articulated it, but it was so much a part of who I was that I couldn't see it. It's sort of, you know, that joke about like a fish is like, what's water, right? Because I was just swimming in it. I always say, I like sometimes say to clients, like, we're not chiseling these on a rock, right?
No.
Like you are a living person. Your values were changed. Like you probably feel the same way, Margaret, that it's, yeah, it's a journey.
Sometimes. Yeah. And sometimes I feel like there are values like I've got this, I'm living this regardless. And sometimes I like to think about what would be my aspirational values? Mm-hmm. What are things that I care about that I'm not quite, you know, embodying yet?
Yet.
Yeah, I love that we have our values, we have our shadow values, we have our aspirational values.
Yes.
I was really struck on the shadow values. I just wondered how much of that is cultural, gender-based, you know, that that there was a negative ascription to those values. What did you notice when you started paying attention to that?
Yeah, that's it. When you start looking at your life yourself as a very intersectional being, you know, you are a gender. You have these, and you have your social economic status. You are this person within this family structure. You are the middle child, the younger child, etc. You are the first person to go to university in within your generation of in your family, so many other different elements that affect who we are, our values and how we experience them and how people embed the values on us, positive of negatively. But at the end of the day, it's about understanding that these are values, and you decide. Or you not decide. You work towards, and then back to the aspirational piece, towards making them work for you, and understanding that that is human, and that they have been embedded. They exist, and then the perception you have, and that your people around you have around specific values, is a construct. So, yeah. At the end of the day, is a whole of different elements of influence to determine what is value, a good value, or a bad value. But why do we need to get there?
Yes, yeah. And I'm curious for you, like once you had that conversation with that one friend who was sort of the one who finally helped you see that more ambitious side and claim it. What's been different for you as a leader?
I think for me, really, that analysis is helping me center back. You know, it's very difficult to find when you are dealing on a daily basis with work, for example, or making decisions. Sometimes it can be very difficult to come, you know, to close all the external factors and just simply focus on finding a solution or analyzing the situation that you're faced with. And coming back to understanding that and the fact that my values point to my emotions. And if I make a connection in between those two and in that specific situation, then I can say, okay, at this moment, I'm feeling uncomfortable or excited because this situation is pointing to this value. So do I want to leave that value right now or not? And then if, for example, if my competitiveness shadow value comes out, it's a great value, I think, but if it comes back in a situation where I am going to be compromising the team and what we can accomplish as a team, I tone down that and I need to say, you know, this competitive value in this specific situation is not going to serve me, or it's not going to serve my team. It's not going to serve my organization. So that awareness and the need of being very, very specific in when and which situations you're going to be using and using those superpowers, it's one of the results of this process, I think. That's one example, but I can give you more examples in terms of, one of the other values or strong feelings attached to a value was this value of pride. You know, I've done so much, and it sometimes can be moving you towards entitlement. You know, so I'm very proud that I managed to accomplish academically. I managed to move so many different countries and learn so much along the process that I've moved in an industry and so on. So this is a big piece for me, but when do I cross the line for entitlement, towards entitlement? And that, it's dangerous. And again, you should be proud of your accomplishments and you should be telling and speaking to them. But when do you cross that line where pride takes over and makes you make decisions that are going to compromise, the things that you actually care about? You know, you care about your team, you care about growing your colleagues' also powers, you know, the powers that they have and making space for others. So, yeah.
Yeah. What I love about what you're saying is just this application, you know, this very active application in different situations, really being cognizant of your values.
Yeah, I think like for me, I see, you know, when clients really embrace values, I think that it's exactly that, Isabel. It's like you're grappling with them, you're thinking about them every day. You know, it really becomes a part of decision making. How am I going to show up in this meeting? You know, like, how am I going to react to that situation? And, you know, it's always to me just about growing our range, right? Like, as human beings, it's like, yeah, like, you know, a strength, a value, like whatever it is that's positive, it's like if we overplay something or stretch it too much, sometimes it can then get in our way, right? And so it's like learning to dance within that, you know, energy of like, what is needed now? And what do I like, you know, the volume, like I often, I probably said that to you. I say that a lot to clients, like, what do you need to turn the volume up? But sometimes you need to turn the volume down, you know, depending on who you're interacting with. So yeah.
Yeah. And especially I feel like somehow I'm very new to this. In looking back, or even when this happens, that I'm triggered, my specific value of pride, competitiveness is triggered, and I feel threatened. So even without having the space to think about, you have a reaction, you know, you are only human. But then this exercise brings me back and say, okay, I reacted that way. Is this the way that I set out to live this specific value? Is this the right time to be reacting this way? And I've been, you know, it's a lot of analyzing, it's exhausting. It can be very exhausting. But at the same time, is, you know, when you are building this practice, and when you are hoping that, because being building this practice, a lot of this effort not only is going to make you grow personally, but it's going to also support the people that you're working with. And at the end of the day, I think for me, that's the objective. Being a leader, aspiring to become a bigger influencing leader, it's all about what you can enable with your leadership style in others and for others. So I think that's one of the biggest learnings. Yeah.
Great. Well, let's give people something to try. What would you recommend our listeners take action on as a result of listening to this?
I think that it's to prioritize yourself professionally in a reflective way, you know? We receive a lot of advice with regards to moving your career ahead and doing the networking, and yes, absolutely performing top notch, and making sure that you definitely show up and are wherever it's you're supposed to be so you can make it. But what space are you creating for that reflection that is gonna enable you to have greater impact when you actually do those things? So for me, this value review, this value analysis was a big way for me to step back, because for a long time I felt like, okay, I'm doing all this networking, I'm doing all this easy. But taking a step back and thinking, okay, why is all this happening? So that is a way that I felt that I prioritized myself in being reflective about how my values are going to support me in that journey, and not only professionally, but in life. So I think that's the actionable point. And if you read the blog, I am describing my process. I hope you don't take that hard route, but it's a route that sometimes you have to navigate. And I had put a couple of resources there, but yes, make time to have these conversations with people that that know you, and just start thinking. If you like, journal and write them down, but I never wrote my values, and I never did an essay on them. I just did a little Jamboard on my computer. So I just put, okay, I think this is me. And I just put a post-it note in green and yellow and many colors that represented, that personally represented what I thought and I had reflected about each value. And now I have a very nice visual board that I can just upload it everywhere and say, you know, this is me. And I've been having conversations with my team about this. These are my values. And I want you to have your time and explore this. And let me know if you need supports. And I think that is my recommendation, my actionable step. Make time and prioritize that reflective space for yourself and for planning ahead your career in your life.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing and inspiring us with this way that we can include our values into our everyday leadership. Sounds like you're really living it, and that's terrific.
I try every day.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe if you haven't already. You can find us on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music Podcasts, and Spotify. And if you are enjoying the show, please rate us and review us so that other people can find us. Now, go put it into practice. Curiosity.